We are starting a new series today, and it's called Worship Through Stewardship. We do a lot of obvious things to worship. You know, we sing songs of worship and praise. We just did that. We give in terms of our offering. That's an act of worship, and certainly we're going to cover that aspect of what stewardship is in our series. There's several things that we can do to express worship, but we don't all the time think of stewardship as an act of worship. But it really is, and it should be. That should be how we think of stewardship as worship to God. But what is stewardship? What does that mean? Well, really, it means to be entrusted with something. There's a parable that Jesus told in Matthew of the stewards, good stewards, and one that wasn't so good, where the master went away and he entrusted his wealth, he entrusted the management of his resources to his stewards, to his servants, and they were to take care of his resources and his money and to manage that or steward that well. And most of them did, one didn't, and that's a good parable that teaches some really good practical lessons and applications. But stewardship is when you are entrusted something, you are given something to take care of, to care for, to manage well. And a lot of times it does center around wealth or finances, and that's certainly a part of it. It's a big part of it. Our resources that we have, we are to steward those well, to manage those things well. We're to be faithful in giving, and we're to be wise with our wealth. That's all part of it, but that's not all of it. Stewardship, biblical stewardship, goes much, much farther than just putting money in an offering plate every week. It encompasses a whole lot more than that. And there's a lot more than what we're going to look at that we could spend time considering. But in this series, we're going to look at three specific areas of biblical stewardship that should be something we are faithful in and that we really do worship with. Worship through stewardship. Today, as we start off the series, we're going to be talking about the stewardship of our time. Stewardship of our time. Worshiping through stewardship of our time. If you have been around a while and you remember Hootie and the Blowfish, especially from the 90s, taking you back a little bit, Hootie and the Blowfish, they had a song, a hit song called Time. And the first, I'll just read you just a little bit of the first verse of that song, Time. It says, time, why you punish me? Like a wave crashing into the shore, you wash away my dreams. Wow, isn't that depressing? And now, if you know that song, you've probably got it in your head a little bit, and you're welcome for that. But, you know, that's a lot of the time, that's how we think of time. That's how we view it. That's how it feels to us. So much of the time. You know, it's like this torturous, punishing thing that we just can't get away from, or something that just erodes, you know, what we want to do or what we wish we could do. But we don't have to see time as this cruel enemy that we are just at the mercy of. We don't have to be afraid of it. Nor do we need to try to pretend like it doesn't exist. How many of you do that? How many times is that your approach to time? Like you pretend like it's not really there. Or you wish you could, or you try to act as if it's not there. You know, like you're just kind of sticking your fingers in your ears, la 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 la. This isn't real. This isn't. It's a figment of my imagination. And so much of the time, that's how we operate. But like so many things in life, with time, it's all about the proper perspective. So much of life comes down to that, don't you think? It's about perspective. And so with time, we don't need to be afraid of it. We don't need to try to escape it, pretend like it's not part of our reality. We need to have the proper perspective with it, like so many other things. And here's the perspective that I encourage you to have. And just here's a disclaimer. This is just as much for me as it is for you. I tend to agree with Hootie and the Blowfish when it comes to time. I don't like time. It feels much of the time feels like an enemy for me. So if that's how you feel or you're prone to feel, I get it. And so this perspective that I'm encouraging you to have, I'm encouraging myself to. Okay, I'm preaching to me just as much as I'm preaching to you. But in terms of perspective, here's a perspective that I think we should all try to pursue and apply. It's this. We need to see time as a gift from God. And because it's a gift from God, it matters how we use it. We need to see time as a gift from God, and it matters how we use it. How often does it seem to you like you never have time to do anything? Probably a lot. Like, no matter what you try to do to manage time, or no matter how good the things on your to-do list are, or how necessary, or how many things you want to accomplish, it just seems like you can never get it done. You relate to that, right? Of course you do. Everybody does. How often do you say things like, "Where did the time go?" I mean, every day, just about, you probably have that feeling, or you say that statement or a variation of it. And look back over your life. The longer you live, you look back over the years and you say, "Where did the time go? How am I at this point in my life?" As parents, you especially do that. I mean, we look at our pictures of our family and our kids in our living room, and digitally, you know, you go back through your photos. And for those of you who are on Facebook and you have Facebook memories, right, that pop up on your page, and it shows you this at this point last year or 2 years ago or 5 years ago, here's what you were doing, and it gives you this little trip down memory lane. And you look at these things, and it's just amazing and a little bit scary, right? Where did the time go? And you look at that every day, really, at the end of the day, and you still see your to-do list, and you see all that wasn't checked off, and you're like, "Oh, where? How did the time get away from me? Where did all this go?" Well, one of the biggest culprits, and there are many culprits for the time-sucking feeling that we have and so often deal with, but one of the biggest culprits is a little thing with a lot of time-sucking ability. Yep, our smartphones, or as I like to refer to it, our chain, because we're so often chained to this, and we've made ourselves slaves to this. Again, myself included, right there with you. But our smartphones, which is an ironic term, really, if you think about it, that's a whole other message, maybe, maybe not. But our smartphones tend to just draw us in and suck up our time. And it happens so fast, and you don't even realize that it's happening most of the time. And you look back, and you realize an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours have gone by, and you're like, "What in the world did I do?" And you look down, and it's there in your phone. That's what you did. A recent study asked 2,000 millennial and baby boomer smartphone users. They left out the Gen Z. I guess it would have been off the chart, wouldn't even been able to quantify the results. I don't know. But 2,000 millennial and baby boomer smartphone users to go into their phone settings and to record exactly how much screen time that they spent on their top apps. The average American spends 5.4 hours a day on their phone. However, 13% of millennials and 5% of boomers spent over 12 hours every day on their phones. Half a day on this, doing most of the time useless, non-productive things, right? I mean, that's pretty sobering. So a big culprit is this right there. And you know, we're at a point in our society and in life where it's pretty much impossible to not have this or use this or be in some way dependent on these devices now. I mean, that's sad, but it's true. That's just where we're at. But that does not mean we are completely merciless or at the mercy of it, that we don't have the ability to moderate and control the time that we spend on it. I mean, that's just not true. It's not like we don't have any ability to manage our time or to limit our time with technology and devices and things like that. Because here's the other fact of the matter. Here's reality. We all have 526,000 minutes every year. That's what we have. 526,600 minutes. I didn't say that last part. 526,600 minutes in every single year. We've all got the same amount of time, is what I'm trying to say. There are still 24 hours in a day. We don't have more or less than one another. We're all in the same boat. We all have the same pool of time that we're drawing from. Everybody does. That's a universal fact. The question is, how are we using those minutes? Those 526,600 minutes, how are we using them? What are we doing with those minutes? That's the question that is before us and that we have to ask. And remember, as I said just a minute ago, time is a gift from God. It's a gift. It's not a burden. It's a gift. And it matters how we use it. It matters how we use those 526,600 minutes. Imagine you were attending a birthday party for a child, and you bought a toy for them. It was exactly what they wanted, and you give it to them, they open it, and then they set it aside. How many times have you been there? Birthdays, Christmas time, you know, they open the gift, and you're so excited to see them open it. You know that's what they wanted, and they open it, and then it just gets put to the side. Now imagine you see them a week or so later and you ask, hey, are you enjoying that toy? Are you enjoying the gift? And they, in very blunt honesty, say, no, not really. And you say, oh, why not? Well, I haven't played with it. I haven't done anything with it. I actually don't even know where it is. You'd be pretty disappointed. You'd be offended and hurt, right? At their reaction and their rejection of your gift. Now, think about how we so often treat the gifts like time that God gives us. How often do we do the exact same thing? Where God gives us this great, wonderful gift. Here is this gift that I've given you as a father to a child, the perfect father, the good father, the father of all good gifts, gives us all these gifts, and we could be here all day talking about naming and listing all the various gifts that he's given us, but with what we're looking at today, time, the gift of time that God has given us, how often do we squander it? How often do we not appreciate it? How often do we take it for granted? How often do we push it aside or reject it? Or how often do we use it in ways other than what he intended for us to use it? How often do we use it in ways that are actually offensive to him and completely opposite of what he would have us do, totally outside of his will and his plan? And so here's this gift that he's given us, this gift of time, and we take it and we use it for our own purposes, often sinful purposes, or we don't use it wisely or effectively. How must that make him feel? What that does to his heart. So the question then is, what should we do with the gift of time that we have? If time is a gift from God, what should we do with it? How should we spend it? How should we apply this gift that he's given us? I want to draw your attention to the scripture to answer that question. Here's some things that we should make sure we are doing or make sure that we are some approaches that we should make sure we're taking and ways of evaluating time and perspective that we should have as it relates to the gift of time that we've been given. First, I want to draw your attention to Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. These references that we look at that I read will be from the ESV, Psalm 39, 4 through 5. And these passages are either what we should do with time or how we should look at time, how we should view it, what should be our mindset as it relates to it, and how we should apply and implement this gift of time that God's given us. Psalm 39, 4 through 5. The psalmist says this, O Lord, make me know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Verse 5, behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Selah. Pretty sobering thoughts, right? That word Selah, in case you've wondered what that word means in the Psalms, it appears so often, so frequently in the Psalms, that Hebrew word there, it really means weigh this out, ponder this, consider this, stop, take some time to focus on what has just been said. Weigh this out. This is important. So, considering that the psalmist here is asking God for him to make him know his end, to measure, to realize that the measurement of my days isn't really that long, it's not that far, it's not that wide, make me see how fleeting my life is. Help me to realize my lifetime that sometimes can seem long, especially when you're on the earlier side of it, help me to realize, he's saying, that it's nothing in your sight. I mean, all of us are like this mere breath. Think of the morning, the cool morning air when you step out and you see your breath and it's that vapor's just gone. As soon as you see it, it just fades away. The psalmist is saying that's how it is for mankind, that all of our years and all of our accomplishments really don't amount to much. And God, I need you to keep that in front of me. I need to be aware of that. I need to have that perspective. This is hard to do, especially when we are young. Because when we're young, I mean, it seems like you're just going to live forever, doesn't it? It's how it feels. When you're young, you don't think about the later part of your life, you don't really spend time thinking about how your life is going to end, and you don't think about all that needs to mark your life between now and the end. You just don't think about that. It's not important. It's not in front of you when you're young because you kind of just think you're going to live forever and you can just be in the moment all the time and you don't really have to think beyond the here and the now. And it's so hard to get, especially younger people, to think about what's next and to have the long view. That's difficult to do, especially when you're young. But here's the thing. We will all have a date on the other side of the dash on a stone one day. We all will. And we all live life in between those dates, that dash between the born and the died dates, that's life, that dash. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we doing with that dash? And there will be a time when you're close to that second date that you look back on what you did with the dash and what you did with that time between the two dates and what defined life in that period. And what we do right now determines how many regrets we have then. What are we doing with that gift of that dash between the dates? What are we doing with the time we've been given? That's what we have to ask ourselves. That's what we have to decide. It's up to us. No one can determine for you how you're going to live your life right here and now in that dash and what that's going to amount to. That's on you. That's on me. That's what we decide. We have this gift, time, that God's given us, but it's up to us to choose and to determine and to be intentional about what we do with that gift and that time. And as the psalmist rightly says, that time is not nearly as long as we might think it is. It's really very fleeting. And that's why there's wisdom in what the psalmist is asking God for. And it's what we need to ask. This prayer, this request that he's given, needs to be one that we also ask God and that is part of our heart. The mindset that was behind these verses that the psalmist wrote needs to be our mindset as well. We need to say the same thing. God, make me, make us, please know our end and help us to realize that we are fleeting. God, help me to comprehend and contemplate the measure of my days and that measurement is not really that long so that we can make the most of the time we have so that we can live for you. That needs to be what's behind such a request. It's not about grabbing all we can from life and wringing it dry, fulfilling all of our own wants and whims and desires. It's what needs to motivate this consideration, what needs to be behind realizing how fleeting we are and realizing that our days are really short. What needs to be behind that is a motivation to live every moment for God, for His glory, for the giver of that gift, not for ourselves. The question needs to be, how can I make much of you, God, with the time I've been given? How can I multiply your goodness and your gifts with the gift of time you've given me? How can I build your kingdom here on earth with the vapor of life that I am? That needs to be our motivator. Not, I've got to make sure I live life to the fullest for myself. It's I live life to the fullest for God. That needs to be what is behind our consideration of our time and our life. Because we do all stand as a mere breath. We need to make that breath count, not for ourselves, but for God. Looking on with another scripture passage in the New Testament, James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. James 4, 13 through 15. And it's very similar to what we just read in Psalm 39. Very, very similar thought. Shows you how Scripture really does fit and tie together and that it's a constant thread. James 4, 13 through 15, James says this, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit." In other words, I have all these plans and they're factual and this is what's going to happen. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Here's my agenda. Here's my plan. It's going to happen. I'm going to make it happen. He says this, verse 14, "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Hear the echo of Psalm 39, 4 through 5 there. "You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Because of that," he says in verse 15, "instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." So in other words, instead of saying, "I'm going to do this today and I'm going to do this tomorrow, this is going to happen, there's no question, this is my plan, it's going to get carried out," instead say, "if God wills." That's something that my dad instilled in me very early on, and he didn't sit down and lecture me about it. He instilled it to me, and I learned it by his example. My dad always, every time he says something or someone says something to him in terms of, something happening or coming up, he always says, God willing. So like, I'll see you tomorrow, Dad. Yep, God willing. Come on over for lunch today. Okay, I'll be there, God willing. You get the idea. So whenever there is something that's being planned or something that's going to happen or that he wants to happen, it's always followed up with that. I think that's exactly what James is saying here, and I think that's exactly what should be our practice. That should be our mindset. It should be this automatic response, knowing that my life is a vapor, and as James says, I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I don't know what the next 10 minutes will bring. So rather than saying, I'm the master of my fate, I'm the captain of my destiny, which is totally not true, recognize God's sovereignty over your very next breath and say, if God wills, I will do this or that. That's the mindset to have. That's the right perspective on time. Remember, time is a gift from God. Therefore, every second and every minute that we have, every breath that's in our body is a gift from God. It is not a right that we have. So, if God wills, and for God's glory, that's what needs to drive our thinking about time and about our life. Last passage of Scripture I want to draw your attention to, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. The Apostle Paul says this, Look carefully then, how you walk. Another way of saying that is how you live. Look carefully at how you walk or how you live, how you go through life. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time. And you could say, why? And then the next statement is the answer. Because the days are evil. And I don't think we have to be convinced of that. I think we don't have to look very far or spend very much time evaluating how life is as a whole and where we are in society and that kind of thing to know, the days are evil for sure. Therefore, because of that, we need to make the best use of the time we have. And how do we make the best use of the time? We make sure that we are walking and living in a way that brings glory and honor to God, that is in line with His will and that is in line with His purposes, not living for self, not living to, build my own little personal empire, not clinging to my own agenda and plans, but saying, God, you've given me this gift of time, you've given me my life, you've given me the breath I have, how can I use it best for you? How can I serve you with the time you've given me? How can I glorify you? How can I make you known more? How can I bring other people in to knowing you and living for you and walking with you? How can I best be used by you, God? That needs to be the question that we ask. That's making the best use of the time. In other words, we need to keep a close watch on our walk. We need to keep a close watch on our walk. How are we spending the precious resource of time that we have? Let me ask you this. And this is a question that you should ask and that I need to ask myself. Are you living life on purpose, with purpose? That's the way to look at that. Am I living life on purpose with purpose? Or am I just living randomly? Am I living just kind of at every whim that comes by? No real direction, no real purpose. Whatever comes, comes. Whatever happens, happens. I'm just kind of floating along the river of time and it takes me where it wants and I'll just go with it. Is that how you approach life? Many, many people do. And that's not the right way to do it. what we're seeing in these verses, what we're reading, the wisdom of God's word that we're reading here, that I'm trying to proclaim to you today, is to not have that mindset, but rather to be deliberate, to be intentional, to be focused, to ask constantly, to evaluate, how am I living with the time that I've been given? Am I living on purpose, with purpose? Am I living to further God's agenda, or am I living to pursue my own? What am I doing with the time I've been given? So, with all that being said, how do we apply all of this? How do we apply the wisdom and instruction of these passages that we've just read together? First, I want to suggest to you three things. First, consistent time spent in God's Word. Consistent time spent in God's Word. And earlier, I said that a big culprit of our time wasting or that feeling like time's just getting sucked away from us, I said a big culprit is this, right? Our smartphone. But here's the good thing about the smartphones. Like so many things in life, it's what you do with it, right? There's good things you can do, and there's bad things. And it's up to us to choose what that is. So, case in point, on these smartphones, many of you, hopefully most of you, have the Bible app, right? That is such an amazing resource that you have at your fingertips, where you have God's Word. You just bring up that little app, you know, it says the Bible app, and you bring it up, and there are hundreds of different translations, and there are thousands now of plans, Bible plans that you can start. You know, you go down if you have that app, and there's a little tab that says plans, and it gives you all these different options of reading plans you can do. You can do a brief, like week long, or even a 3-day reading plan. You can have it's broken down by topic. So, are you feeling discouraged? Are you feeling depressed? Are you feeling anxious? Are you feeling fear? Are you struggling with finances? Is your marriage having trouble? Are you having trouble with your kids and relationships? Are you having doubts about things? Whatever it is, I mean, it's almost endless in terms of category and topic that you can look up, and there are specific Bible reading plans built around those topics, or you can do a partial through the Bible for a year or a whole Bible through the Bible in a year, and there are so many different options. And the other thing about this is it will read to you. You know, you can just hit a little megaphone icon, and it actually will narrate the scripture. So how about while you're getting ready in the morning, have God's Word read to you while you're doing that, or in your morning commute, or when you're in line for something. I mean, it's such an amazing resource that we have available on our phones and our devices. We have no excuse anymore, church, none, for not being in God's Word. It is literally available to us all the time, everywhere. And that's just one example. Another example in terms of how you can spend time in God's Word is what we use here at the church, and what we have for many years and what we've made available to you is the Right Now Media. I cannot encourage you enough to get into Right Now Media. It's free to you. The church pays for the subscription. It's like the Netflix for Bible study. I mean, there are literally thousands of Bible studies or sermons or conferences and seminars that you can tune into without having to leave your home. And I mean, it just pours biblical content into your mind and into your heart and into your home. And again, just like the Bible app, there are so many categories, so many topics. There's men's studies, there's women's studies, there's couple studies, there's teen studies, there's programming for children. The list is endless, and you can find those videos and put them in your queue just like you do Netflix, but this is going to be a lot more edifying for your mind and your heart and your spirit than Netflix ever could. And I mean, it's free to you. If you haven't signed up on Right Now Media yet, let me know. I can help you get started. It's as simple as creating an account, logging in, and then streaming the content. You can watch it on your TV at home. You can watch it on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer. It's just fantastic. So those are two modern resources that help you to be saturated by God's Word. And that's how you can manage your time well, by being in God's Word. That's a way of applying the wisdom and instruction of the things that we just read in terms of making the most of our time. Along with that, another application for how we make the most of our time and applying the wisdom and instruction of these passages that we read this morning would be consistent time spent in communication with God through prayer. Consistent time spent in communication with God through prayer. A prayerless believer is a powerless believer. And for us to have the wisdom to know what to do with the time that we've been given, to make the most use of our life, we need to be communing with God and saying, God, how do you want me to proceed? How do you want me to walk? What do you want me to do with the time that you've given me? What is your plan? What is your agenda? Spend time actually communicating with God, and not just talking to God, but quieting yourself so that you can hear from him. Prayer needs to be a two-way conversation. It really does. It's not just about, here's all my list of requests and desires. God, I want this, do this, please do this, I'm asking you for this. It also just needs to be sitting and quiet and listening for what God wants to say to you. Communicating with God through prayer. And last but certainly not least, consistent time spent in fellowship and community with God's people. So time spent in God's Word, time spent in prayer with God, and time spent in fellowship and community with God's people. That is corporate gatherings like what we're doing right now. This is the corporate gathering of God's people. So what we're doing on Sunday morning in worship, but it also includes one-on-one time with your fellow believers or in a small group setting, like we do on Sunday evenings. We have small groups, and if you're not part of a small group, I encourage you to be part of a small group. It doesn't have to meet on Sunday evening, but there is such strength and unity and growth and development that happens in a small group setting that just can't really take place here. This is great. Don't stop coming to corporate worship, okay? But small groups go deeper, and they foster a deeper relationship with one another. So I encourage you to be part of that. These are things we need to do in terms of how we spend our time, what we do with our time that we've been given. Time in God's Word, time speaking with God through prayer, and time spent fellowshipping with God's people. Why? Well, because as Ephesians 5:16 says, because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. I also think of Hebrews 10:25, where the writer says, don't forsake or neglect the gathering or assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but all the more as you see the day approaching, as you see time winding down, as you see time growing shorter. And again, I don't think you have to look very hard or far to realize that's happening as well, that our time continually grows short. And so as that happens and increases, we need to make sure we are together more, not less. We need to see time as a gift from God, and it matters how we use it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how relevant it is, how applicable it is. Thank you for the gift of time. May we steward it well. May we not squander it. May we not waste it. May we not just use it on ourselves and however we want, but may we use this precious commodity that is time. May we use it for your glory, to further your purposes, to be in line with your will. Help us to be in your word more. Help us to take advantage of the amazing modern resources we have to be saturated by your word and in your word. And help us to make sure that we are people of prayer, that we communicate with you and hear from you. Help us to be people that make sure we are intentional about gathering and fellowshipping together in community with one another as fellow believers. May we make the most and best use of the time you've given us, because the days are evil and the day where time is no more is rapidly approaching. Help us to be wise with the time you've given us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.